Jason. And I'd like to start that off with just a few deep breaths. Just close your eyes and shut out the rest of the outer environment right now. And let's just take a breath together. Remind yourself that I'm not trying to convert you, that I'm not trying to convince you, that I trust your own inner God, your own inner guidance, and that you will hear what you need to hear and you'll accept what you need to accept. And I'm just going to ask Spirit to come in and love to come in. Our inner teacher, our inner guidance, we all have it. And the thought that I like to take into this meditation is God's voice. The voice of love, the voice of truth. It speaks to you all through the day. That your inner teacher, your inner guidance is speaking to you all through the day. And it's quite possible to listen to that voice all through the day. It's possible to listen to God's voice, love's voice, without interrupting your regular activities in any way. There's a part of your mind that the truth lives in. And that part of your mind that the truth lives in is always in communication with love. It's always in communication with God. So there's a part of your mind that's always in communication with God. There's a part of your mind that's in constant communication with truth. Whether you are aware of it or not, there's a part of you that's always in communication with God. But it's the other part of your mind. It's the part of your mind that functions in the world. It's the part of your mind that obeys the world's laws. It's the part of your mind that maybe believes what you were taught, even if it doesn't bring you joy. It's that part of the mind, the part that thinks it's separate, the part of your mind that thinks it's on its own, the part of your mind that thinks it has to figure out everything, the part of your mind that believes in guilt, and the part of your mind that believes in fear, and the part of your mind that believes in competition, and the part of your mind that believes that there's not enough, and the part of your mind that believes there's so much to be afraid of and tries to constantly come up with advice for avoiding catastrophic outcomes. It's that part of you that's constantly distracted, constantly disorganized, and highly uncertain. Now, you can tell the part of you that's really listening to your real self, because the part of yourself that's listening to God, the part of yourself that's listening to the truth, is calm, is always at rest, it's always completely certain. It's really the only part of your mind that really exists. But the other part of your mind that thinks it's a human being only, that's a person out here trying to make it, that part is a wild illusion. The ego part of your mind is frantic, it's distraught, and it's basically not real. So I want you to try right now not to listen to the voice that you listen to all the time, that may not bring you peace all the time. Try to identify with the part of your mind where stillness and peace rule. There is a part of your mind that peace rules. Peace rules. Forever. Try to hear God's voice. Try to hear your higher self. Try to hear your higher self call to you lovingly, it's going to remind you that your Creator hasn't forgotten you. That which created you has not forgotten you. That which created you has not forgotten you. That which created you has not forgotten you. That which created you and gave you life and gave you awareness and gave you consciousness is not gone from you. Hasn't forgotten you. So I want us to try to actually hear a voice or even a feeling inside of you that's reminding you of your Creator and also of yourself. We will approach this happiest and holiest of thoughts with confidence. We are finally joining our will with the will of love. We're joining our will with the will of God. We're joining our minds with the mind of God. We're joining our minds with the mind of love. We're joining our thoughts with the thoughts of truth. What created you wants you to hear it. The love that created you, you did not create yourself. You did not create yourself, and you were not created as a result of a sex act. Your body was. Your physical vehicle was. You existed before your physical body did. You were more than your body. And so what created you is what you really are. It wants you to hear that voice, because that voice, your guidance, your teacher, your help was given to you to be heard. Your guidance was given you to be heard, but what keeps us from hearing the guidance is that we're listening to our own past learning. We're just listening to our own past experiences. We're listening to what we learn in the world, and we're listening to what we hear on TV and in newspapers, and what our elders taught us and our parents taught us. And they just taught you what they learned, and their parents taught them what they learned. So you have to ask yourself, has what you have learned, has it brought you the peace that you want? Has your past learning brought you to complete joy and love right now? Has your past learning made you feel like you are loving and lovable and innocent? Are you wondering about how cool you are? So I want you to listen in deep silence. I want to ask you to listen. Be very still and open your mind, because there's another voice. And I want you to try to go past all the raucous shrieks. I want you to try to go past all the sick imaginings. I'd like to ask you to try to go past those fearful thoughts that cover your loving thoughts and your real thoughts. Try to go past those voices that hide your eternal link with God, which is love. God is not a man in the sky, arbitrarily kicking butt, depending on whether or not you act right. That's not the Course in Miracles definition of God. So God is that infinite, loving, infinite being that's everywhere present, that created us. It's beyond male, it's beyond female, even though it has an idea of itself as male and female. It's not limited to our conceptions of the infinite. Our Creator does not act like a dysfunctional person who holds grievances and destroys and punishes and treats one part of itself one way and another part of itself another way. We can't destroy our Creator. We can't hurt our Creator's feelings. Our Creator is loving. Our Creator wants to heal us, direct us, guide us, take us back to that state of infinite love that we belong in spite of what we believe about ourselves sometimes. You don't live here. I want you to try to go deep into the peace that waits for you beyond the frantic, riotous thoughts and sights and sounds of this insane world. You don't live in an insane world. We're trying to reach your real home. We're trying to reach the place where you are truly welcome. We're trying to reach God. So don't forget to repeat this idea to yourself very frequently. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. The voice of my Creator speaks to me all through the day. Love speaks to me all through the day. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. Say that sometimes with your eyes open if it's necessary, and when it's possible, just close your eyes. If you're in the middle of a physical situation or the stress of the day or the activities of the body and you're out about in the world and you have a moment, just close your eyes, take a breath, and then say to yourself, God's voice speaks to me all through the day. Right now. And be sure to sit quietly, even though we are Americans, and America's busy as they can possibly be at all times, running around, taking care of meaningless folly. Take a moment to close your eyes on the world, realizing that you are now going to take a minute to invite your Creator to speak to you. You're going to invite God to speak to you. You're going to invite love to speak to you. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. And that means love's voice speaks to me all through the day. Love's voice speaks to me all through the day. Love's voice speaks to me all through the day. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. The voice of peace speaks to me all through the day. The voice of peace speaks to me all through the day. The voice of my guide speaks to me all through the day. The voice of my guidance speaks to me all through the day. And remember that you need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe, and some of these ideas this evening may be quite startling. You are not asked to judge and analyze the ideas at all. The use of the ideas will give the ideas meaning to you, and using the ideas will show you that they are true. Show us that the ideas are true, loving Spirit. Show us that the ideas are true, Holy Spirit. Show us that the ideas are true, infinite love. Show us that the ideas are true. All right. Welcome, y'all. Are there live people in the house? Welcome, you all.
Hello.
Welcome. This is an opportunity for us to give what we like to receive. This is every time we get together, it's just another chance to give what we like to receive. So I'd like you to give me what you like to receive, and I will give you what I like to receive. Hopefully you love yourselves enough not to give me a hard time, because you don't want a hard time. You see what I mean? People are always giving what they want to receive, even when they don't know it. So if you're around people all the time and it looks like they're giving people a hard time, there's some part of themselves that does not love themselves. And so they're putting out something in the universe that will bring back pain to themselves. And so they're really unconsciously treating you the way they believe they deserve to be treated. So do unto others as you would have others do unto you really doesn't really work unless you love yourself. Other than that, you're just going to give people a bunch of crap. And right, if I don't love myself, I'm not going to treat you with love. So doing unto you as I would have you do unto me only works if I believe I deserve to have some peace. See what I mean? So the golden rule doesn't really work unless you love yourself in a way that brings real joy. And so remember that people are always giving what they believe that they deserve to receive, even when they don't know it. And if you keep that in mind, then you get a pretty accurate kind of a insight into the people that are in your life and the kinds of and what they want. And sometimes you'll be shocked. And then sometimes you'll be pleasantly surprised because you find out that you're kind of attracting people to you that really want to love themselves more because they're loving themselves. They give up the love themselves. So we're going to continue with the chapter in the Course that has to do with the Guide to Salvation, which is the chapter that talks about guidance and how to get in touch with your guidance and how to recognize your guidance and how to tell the difference between love and fear. And the Holy Spirit is nothing but the voice for God and us, the voice for our guide. And each one of us has that inner guidance. And the Course says what keeps us from hearing it is that we're listening to the voices of what we learned in the past and in our past experiences. So we want to learn how to tell the difference between our guidance and how to communicate with our guidance and when we listen to false guidance and when we listen to true guidance within ourselves. So this paragraph that I'm going to read is on page 80, if you got the text, and I really want to support people in studying it. And so I'm going to read through the paragraph so I can be especially supportive of those who are reading it so that it would be easier for them to read it. It says, perception derives meaning from relationships. Those relationships you accept are the foundations of your beliefs. The kind of relationships that you accept are the foundation of your beliefs. So if you want to know what the foundation of what you believe is, then all you have to do is look at your relationships. Because your relationships are the foundation of what you believe. That's good news for some, that's bad news. The separation is merely another term for a split mind. So when the Course talks about separation, it's really talking about we have a split mind, which means our mind is divided between love and fear, peace and conflict. Then it says, the ego is the symbol of separation. So the ego is the part of me that wants to be separate. And then it says, as the Holy Spirit is the symbol of peace. So the Holy Spirit is the part of me that wants peace. Then it says, what you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. And then the Course says that to perceive means to interpret. So whenever you see the word perception, you could substitute the word interpretation, and then that word would make a lot more sense. Like, you can say you perceive me right now, but the truth is you're interpreting me right now. Everybody agree to that? Yeah. That when you look at me and you're listening to me, aren't you interpreting me?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not really hearing me. You're really hearing what you're telling yourself. So you're teaching the class, not me. You're teaching yourself the class. So beware when you go out and quote me, because I'm always amazed at what people say I said. And what they've done is they shared their interpretation of what I said.
That's why they get what you say.
Yeah, and even then, you're going to interpret it. You know what I mean? So whatever I interpret in you, I'm making it stronger in myself. So if I was to interpret it, that everyone in here had love in them, truth in them, God in them, spirit in them, awareness in them, freedom in them, power in them, then that interpretation would strengthen that idea in myself. So whatever I interpret you as being, I'm strengthening in myself. Now, if I interpret you as being untrustworthy, separate from me, guilty, bad, you know what I'm saying, then I'm strengthening that interpretation within myself. Everybody with me on that one? Now, since we easily see that and we admit to ourselves that we see that, isn't it amazing how little we apply it?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing though? Like we can all see the sanity of that statement. Everybody go, oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's and then I turn right around and I call you something that I wouldn't want to strengthen in myself. And that's the split mind. The split mind is the part of me that doesn't know that what I strengthen in you is what I'm strengthening myself. I think it really is a you over there, and what I do to you has no effect on me whatsoever. If I forgive you, I'm doing it for you, not for me. That's where the split mind does it. I'm doing it for you, but not for me. And if your mind's not split, you know that you're doing it for yourself. That's the only person that needs to be forgiven anyway, is you. You know, it's not really anybody else that needs to be forgiven. And so you forgive until you know you don't need any. You know, and what does that mean? It doesn't mean overlooking what I think somebody really did to me because I'm a higher spiritual being and they're just a smoke. You know, it's like, I'm gonna overlook what you really did to me because that's what forgiveness is. You really did it, but I'm going to force myself to overlook that. The Course in Miracles teaches that you can't forgive what you really think someone did to you. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it'll seem insane to try to overlook what you think somebody really did to you. That's crazy. You can't do it. If you try to do it, you can't do it. If you really think I did it to you, you can't overlook it.
So then what do you do?
What you do is you recognize that all you're seeing around you is another opportunity to free yourself by getting what you want to receive. The heck with what they did to you. You want to free yourself by giving yourself a level of consciousness that would ultimately never attract something like that or somebody like that or some those types of feelings to you. So if you really want to forgive, you really make it about yourself and you don't make it about the other person. When you make it about the other person, you slow yourself down. You're doing it because it will raise your level of vibration, your level of consciousness, your level of prosperity, your level of joy, your level of love. You don't want to stay trapped in that pain and that conflict because I've often said in classes, there are people that are miserable and not letting themselves have relationships and never trusting anybody because of people who absolutely don't feel any of the pain that they're going through and they're not even aware of it. It's like they're feeling bad about a person that may be in Hawaii partying right now who has no concept of the pain you're feeling. They're not feeling it at all. But I'm making myself feel miserable about that person. So I'm really just hurting me. That's what I loved about The Course in Miracles is that it brought home to me that I was either hurting me or I was healing me. It didn't have anything to do with you in that sense. Because if it's happened, it's the past, and there's nothing I can do to change that anyway. So all I can do is learn how to stop giving myself pain and grief about it now and get in touch with the love that I am now, because the love that I am now is going to attract what happens to me now. So I need to be what I want to have. And what's really cool is those of you who would like to have some form of vengeance on others, if not forgiveness would be really popular. So we just need to admit. You about to get it? The bag. It's okay. Okay. Because the thing to keep in mind is that what do you want should be the determiner of what you give. We're going to keep going back to that because I think sometimes people make it too much about the other person. If you did something to me in my perception, in my interpretation, then I want to get to a state of awareness that I would be aware of what's going on before I would ever even hurt myself to begin with. So what attracted me in that situation at some level was my own lack of awareness. And even if it wasn't my own lack of awareness, and it looked like I was the nicest person in the world and somebody did something to me, still, I want to be in a peaceful state and get to the point that I can maintain my peace because I'm the one that's feeling my feelings. And so what I want to do is give myself feelings of peace, which is not the same as saying, I'm going to allow somebody to walk over me, I'm going to allow somebody to take advantage of me, because if you're an aware person, that just wouldn't happen. It doesn't happen to an aware person. That happens to an unaware person. An aware person would really be so in touch with their oneness and their love, and most especially their own inner guidance. Because whether you believe it or not, your inner guidance told you not to do that at the very beginning. You just didn't pay attention. Right. It's like your inner guidance. Every situation that's ever caused you pain, your inner guidance could have taught you to avoid that. I mean, we just have to be real, straight up. You know, we make up what we want, and then we try to go out and get it. That's our approach to life. We make up what we want, and then we try to go out and we try to get it based on our past learning and our past experience. That's not the same as, I'm going to check in, I'm going to see what God within me wants me to do, and I'm going to learn how to listen to my guidance, and I'm going to let my guidance direct me. It's not the same as me making up what I think will make me happy, and then trying to manipulate everybody around me so that they fulfill my fantasy, which is what goes for maturity and being in charge in the world. Everybody makes up their individual fantasies, and then they try to manipulate their environment to create that. And things that teach us how to do that are the most popular teachings going. Okay, everything that teaches us how to manipulate is really popular. But the truth is, when you learn how to listen to your inner teacher, there's no need to manipulate because you're going to be guided. You'll be guided to the right people, the right situation, the right circumstances, the right thoughts, what will bring you peace and what will bring you joy. But the Course says we don't know how to listen to it. And we don't know how to recognize it, so we need to learn how to tell the difference between our voice and the voice of Spirit. Does it make sense to everybody?
Yeah. What if you got wrapped up in it, though? What if you got wrapped up in that really crappy place where you just feel angry and
No, it's nothing wrong with feeling. It's nothing wrong with feeling angry.
You can't see peace in yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't see peace in the world.
Then you study, you meditate, you read, you study, you meditate, you read, you study, meditate, apply the truth. You read, study, meditate, apply the truth. You read, study, meditate, and apply the truth. And now I'm really, really mad. I'm really, really angry. I'm really, really upset. I read more, study more, apply the truth more. I read more, study more, apply the truth more. It's just one answer. Read, study, apply the truth. Read, study, apply the truth. Read, study, apply the truth. The answer will never change. The situations will change, but the answer will never change, and that's maddening to us.
Yeah.
That's maddening to us. I'm angry. Yeah, but just because I'm angry still doesn't change what I need to do to have peace. The process of what I have to do to have peace does not change just because I'm angry. But what keeps me angry the longest is refusing to acknowledge my anger and fold my anger and stop judging my anger and stop getting angry about getting angry and stop feeling like I've fallen off the wagon because I'm angry and I need to let go of this Pollyanna belief that if I'm really a spiritual master, I'll never get upset all the time while I'm learning how not to get upset all the time. That's the rough path. So what I do to get back to my peace quick is to admit how I feel to myself, just the way I feel it. I don't try to dress it up. If I feel angry, I feel angry. If I feel jealous, I feel jealous. If I feel concerned, I feel concerned. If I feel worried, I feel worried. Because if I feel guilty about my feelings, then I've forgotten the basic tenet of this book, which is I'm not guilty. So none of my feelings mean I'm guilty. It's just what I'm feeling. So until I can feel okay about my feelings, I'll never go to the next level of consciousness of truth. It's not about pretending I don't feel what I feel. But I also have to get honest with myself and say, the reason why I'm mad is because two reasons. I want somebody to feel guilty, whether it's me or the other person. And the other reason why I'm angry is because somebody's not acting out my script. I'm angry because somebody's not acting the way I want them to act. I'm angry because somebody didn't do me the way I thought I wanted them to do me. I'm angry because my script is not being acted out. I'm angry because my script is not being acted out. My script said that you should not have done this to me, and you did this to me, and I'm angry. And your script and my script said, when you told me that you were not going to do this, and I trusted that you were not going to do this, and you did it, and now I'm angry. But if you're really conscious, the first thing you do is you don't believe that there's any such thing as consistency with the person who doesn't know they're one with you.
Right. Wow, right there.
Right there. It's like the minute you know that you're in a conversation with somebody that thinks that they are you and you are them and you are separate from each other, then they're going to be just like you. They're going to sometimes do what they say they're going to do, and they're going to sometimes not do what they say they're going to do. And they can have the best intentions to do what they say they're going to do, and then they don't end up there. And what I'm trying to say to you all is that everybody we're mad at, they're just like us.
Yeah.
I don't know a person who's berated me about me not keeping their word with them that's kept their word in every single situation in their life and always done exactly what they said they were going to do. So don't even come to me with that mess. Don't even come in my face acting like you're mad at me because I didn't do something that you do all the time too. It's just that you do it at a different time, and so now you think you're different from me. You know, the only difference is time. That's the only difference, of course, between us is time. You come today and you're all love and light and love everybody. And I could see you tomorrow and you could be so mad you could scream at everybody around you. And the next day you're feeling really, really, really good. Right? Look, I do the same thing. I just do it maybe on different days about what appears to be different things. So you and I are not really different. Don't be condemning me because I did not keep my word when you know you've never kept your word in every single situation that you told somebody you were going to keep yours. So I don't even play those games with people in my own personal self. That's how I keep my innocence. I just immediately make people the same as me. And don't be getting mad at me because you still feel guilty about when you didn't keep your word. And that's all the reason why you're so mad at me is I'm triggering in you your own guilt about your own lack of integrity in the past. Whereas you wouldn't even be bothered. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't love you unless I make it okay for you not to love me. And I can't love you unless I make it okay for you not to always do what you say. And I can't love you if I think you're going to be perfect in your personality all the time. And I think it's sort of like childish to enter relationships with that attitude. That's how you can kind of tell the difference between a more mature spiritual being and someone is not, is they still have those notions of an idealistic version of how everybody's supposed to be, and if they don't live up to it, then they're mad at them. And the person that has had some life experience and some spiritual experience, they already know from their own experience that everybody's like them. Which means sometimes they're going to be one way and sometimes they're not going to be that way, just like them. So, in most cases, you got most people looking for an idealized version of themselves that they're not even living up to themselves. And since it's an idealized version, guess what? It doesn't exist. That's the whole term, idealism. It means it doesn't exist. So, what I really want is to have a relationship with somebody that exists. Because in the end, that's who I'm going to have the relationship with. Not the person I imagine, not the person that I fantasize about, not the person that I idealize. I'm going to have the relationship with the person as they manifest themselves now based on the level of consciousness they're on now and what they know about them. So that's who you're having the relationship with. And then the anger is coming from comparing them and yourself to an idealized version that doesn't exist. So it's okay to have a higher perception of what you'd like to be as long as you realize that that's what it is. It's your idea of what you like to be. It's not what you are being. That's where forgiveness comes in. It's easy for me to forgive people who I see as not lying to me in the first place. And the lie that somebody told to me in the first place was, I'll never get mad at you. You can always trust me. You can always depend on me. I'm going to always be consistent, and I'm going to always be there no matter what. You want to be with me. You want to be dependable. You want to be consistent, and you want to love me. That's the truth. To say you're going to do that all the time is a lie. Well, how do I know you're lying? Because I can't. And if I can't, you can't. Or you wouldn't be attracted to me. And I wouldn't be attracted to you. So it's impossible for me to be attracted to a person that's different from me. And that's how you keep fooling yourself about anybody. Even if they look like they're totally opposite to you, if you're attracted to them and they're attracted to you and you want to enter into a relationship with them and they want to enter a relationship with you, they're like you and you like them. And which means, until I know my spiritual identity and learn how to listen to God and know that I'm loved and let go of my guilt, I'm going to be inconsistency. I'm going to be inconsistent sometimes because I haven't mastered the truth yet. I'm trying to. I'm working on it. So I want to be around people who are working on it, know they're working on it, know they haven't perfected it, so they can forgive me and I can forgive them as we make the mistakes and errors we're going to make while we're learning how to remember who we are, rather than being around people who have an idealized version of me that they're ready to condemn me for every time I don't live up to it. That is hell. That is hell. Because then I can never breathe. I can never be myself. I can never relax for a minute. I can never feel like, how much fun would it be to be in a relationship with somebody that you felt like you could make one mistake and they're gone? That's what happens a lot.
That's a blessing.
Yeah. But you only see it as a blessing as you begin to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, then you feel like a tragedy has occurred.
Right.
Because the form of punishment that you've decided for yourself that looked cute is no longer available. The way that my chosen form of self-punishment left me. And now I'm angry. I love myself. I deserve to be loved. I deserve to be related to from a perception of love. And so the person that didn't love me has decided that they wanted to leave me, and I should be grateful to them because they love me enough to not stick around and punish me. So what some people call commitment is sadistic. I'm not going to give you love. I'm not going to communicate with you. I'm not going to remind you of your spiritual identity. I'm not going to support you in what you are, but I'm going to stay here forever till the day we die. I would do that to my worst enemy. But the person that goes, you're not meeting my model. I've tried every way that I can. And I feel like you're not enough. You never do right. And they go, well, I'm going to go punish someone else. And they call it, I'm leaving you for somebody else. And if you're conscious and you've done the best you can from your heart and you've been as authentic as you can possibly be and you've been real as you could possibly be, I think those people are the ones who have more, in a sense, at some level, more compassion. They don't love you. They can't give you the love. They can't give you what they want. They're not satisfied with you, and they don't stick around to continue to make you feel like you're not enough. That's not unloving from my perspective now. You know, from the old guilty perspective, it will stick with me no matter what, even if we hate each other's guts and there's nothing about our relationship that brings us any peace. Let's keep our two bodies together under the same roof to the day we die, even though there's no fulfillment, and I love you. I care about you. You're important to me. So it's a bit of a challenge. Some people think I'm saying you should walk away from a relationship if everything isn't working out fine. I'm saying that you should do whatever you feel like is right in your heart to do and to go inside and ask your inner guidance what's best for you and to follow that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not telling anybody what to do. That's what I'm saying about those interpretations. Earl didn't say, don't go home and say, Earl told me to leave you, you're a bum. And you don't really love me. And this is the last straw, so I'm getting the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying? Earl says, I want nobody stalking me. You know, Earl Purdy, aren't you? You know, I had complete control over my mate till she came to your class. So, I was manipulating well. Come listen to you, and now she got the nerve to want to follow her heart. You know, it's funny. It's funny. So anyway, feel those feelings. It's not about not feeling your feelings. It's about being honest with yourself, about listening to your guidance and learning how to listen to your guidance. I'm gonna keep going back to that. Yeah.
I just need to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you're getting really clear with what it is that you desire and what it is that you want,
mm-hmm.
and you are ready to end the relationship that's not working out
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
However, you are also identifying that you are creating this relationship because of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of now at, I mean, you don't want to end the relationship with yourself, so you kind of...
Well, see, that's all the stuff that you say and you make up when you're not ready to leave a relationship yet. That's what you just told me. Okay.
when you go through all that stuff, when I get to this, and you don't want to leave, you know, that's cool, but I'm just...
You're forgetting the first rule of developmental trust, which the Course says in the teacher's manual is, you keep what you do want, and you let go of what you don't want. See, and what you're trying to do is let go of what you want. And that's why you're still in the conflict, because you don't want to let that go yet.
Yes.
But when you really do, you'd be amazed at how none of that analytical process that you're doing right now. Those of us who've ever reached their limit in anything, have you ever noticed that when you really reached your limit and you really went, this is it, you wasn't going through no deep psychological processes, right? You know, when you know something is done and you know you're done, you are done. Okay? And whenever I'm talking to people and they're telling me about it, rightfully so, the challenge that they have with letting go is because they don't want to let go. They still feel at some level that they haven't done everything that they can do in that situation. They still feel like there's some need that's being met in that situation that they're not ready to let go of yet. And so therefore they would have a lot more peace if they just admitted to themselves that they weren't ready to let that go yet than they would to be telling themselves constantly they won't let it go. They want to let it go, but it's too hard. Because you want to continually convince yourself that it's possible for you to have what you want. And not only that, you do have what you want. Even if it's not always pleasant at first, because that's just the beginning stages of awakening. Later on, it won't be so much of a challenge because you'll actually have attracted so much stuff that you want that you'll find that you really do appreciate the person that you're with and that you really do want to be with them, and that it won't be hard to tell them you love them all day long because you'll be loving them all day long. You know, it's like all this stuff is the struggle. The only reason why it's a struggle is because we don't want to do it. It's not hard for me to look at you in the eye and tell you that I love you if I do, but it's hard to tell you that I love you when I don't. And so many people think spiritual growth is constantly trying to make themselves feel the way they don't feel about the things and people in their lives. So then it becomes, I don't really love you, but I need to tell you I do anyway, and I don't want to tell you I appreciate you because I really don't. And it's hard for me to tell you I love being with you because I don't. So then it becomes, well, it's hard for me to tell my friend or my mate that. Well, it is when you don't feel that way. So you just need to be honest with yourself about how you feel and stop pretending that you feel that way. But you can always go, I want to feel that way. I want to let go of the blocks to feeling that love for you. I want to learn how to see you correctly. And then you'll be gentle with yourself because you know that you're trying to let go of those blocks. And so you won't beat yourself up every time you lose your temper because you've already admitted you got a problem here and you need help. You know, it's like me going to the doctor and I got a broken leg and I'm feeling guilty about not being able to go jog. So every time I try to jog and I fall down, I'll be gentle with myself because I know my leg is broken. But it won't always be broken. You see what I mean? So to say I'm going to walk out of this room and love everybody when I know that my love is broken, and then beat myself up all the time because I can't give people perfect love, it's the same analogy. It's like, no, you want to have your leg or your love healed. And as you go to that healing, you're going to sometimes do it good, sometimes not, depending on whether or not you listen to your guidance. And then you eventually become stronger and stronger and stronger, and your love becomes more and more consistent, until your love is naturally consistent, which will be easy because you'll be surrounded by so much love that even when you meet those people that seem like they're not that loving, you'll be so in love yourself that they can't affect you anymore. And they're not going to come through all the time. It's not like all day long you're going to be meeting crappy people that's going to challenge you. That's what happens at the beginning and before you begin to wake up. But as you wake up, what will become more exceptional is the people that you aren't able to have peace and joy with. They will become the exceptions where most of your experience will be peaceful. So even when they show up, they'll be like a blip on the radar screen. But in the beginning, that sounds ridiculous because we're in our old state of mind, which is surrounded by situations and things that need to be changed in order to be happy. So the idea of having a whole day where only two things happen out of the whole day that upset you just sounds like fantasy. Because I'm at the beginning where I'm still listening to my old voice. We all, you know, so be gentle with yourself and be patient with yourself. and know that you decided on the direction you wanted to go, and that's all that's been requested of you by Spirit, is that you just make the decision that you've reached your limit of pain, and you're ready to have peace in your life, and you're ready to go within and establish that communication with your source for yourself, so that you can be guided out of that. If you decided to do that, then you've done everything that was required of you already. You know, you're going to be a lawyer. They tell you the curriculum to take. You don't make it up. You know what I mean? But you have to decide to go to law school. That was your... And then you have to decide how much you want to take each semester. So free will just means you can elect how much you want to take at any given time. Free will doesn't mean you determine the curriculum, which is what most people think. Oh, I have free will. I can do anything I want to do. No. You already know that's not true. I mean, your own physical experience in the world should have already taught you can't do everything you want to do. So free will obviously doesn't mean you can do everything you want to do. Right? I mean, am I talking crazy stuff?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but free will does mean you can decide how much you want to change at any given time, how much you want to do to change at any given time, how much you want to, how much you want to take. Like the Course in Miracles, for instance. I decide how much of it I want to study, but it has its own curriculum. Peace has its own curriculum. Abundance has its own rules. Love has its own rules. Happiness has its own rules. And so we have to learn the rules of happiness, the rules of abundance, the rules of love. And our ego mind has taught us we can make up the rules of happiness, and that's not true. You can't make up the rules of happiness. Those are already established by God. What is going to fulfill us was established by that which created us. What we need to do is get in alignment with it so it can happen easy. You know, that's the challenge. See, the challenge is to get to the point where you go, I didn't create myself. When I first read that line, I went, wow, that's the truth. Because I didn't realize I was living my life just like I created myself. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
That we live our lives as if we created ourselves, and so we think it's up to us to determine what everything is because we made ourselves. And when you become more enlightened, you realize, thank God I didn't make myself. Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I can be told and I can be guided. Thank God, thank God, thank God I'm not on my own, by myself, competing with everything, thinking that everybody's out to get me and to blame for what I'm going through, and I'm a victim of forces beyond my control. It's like, thank God that's not my reality, that that's not my truth. Trying to get a few special relationships with a few people that I brought them all by myself and I'm all afraid.
Yeah.
People could drop out of the sky loving you when you don't need them to. They'll just be coming from everywhere. Y'all know how you react yourself to needy people. If you feel like you're coming up on somebody that's got a real needy energy, are you attracted to them, or do you find that you kind of back off? Hello. Okay. So again, we're right back to we can use our own experiences being in the world as a gauge to tell what's true. It's not theoretical. We all know this, right? So as soon as you don't need a job, they offer you one. So as you don't need money, it comes to you. You know, Oprah could come in town and buy most of the restaurants around, right? But did you think she would pay for any meal in any restaurant that she would go to if she didn't want to? She doesn't need it. So therefore, it's always there. That's the way it works. You know, so how do people say, how do I get to that state by recognizing there's no lack in myself? How do I recognize there's no lack in myself? By starting to tell myself the truth and starting to give myself new interpretations. How do I do that? How do I give myself new truths and new interpretations? Well, I stay open to a curriculum of spirit to come to me, for example, the Course in Miracles for me, and then once I decide on that curriculum, then I do it. Oh. Okay, how do I know when I found my curriculum? Well, you'll know when you found your path, because when you find your path, you'll do it. You'll do it even when you have resistance. You'll do it when you don't necessarily like it. You'll do it when it makes you mad. You'll do it when you're confused. But for some reason, you'll find your butt doing it. When you haven't found your path, anything stops you in that particular direction. You drop it. You let go of it. You don't invest any time with it. And you go look for something else. That's not bad either. That just means you haven't come across your particular path that works for you yet. But when you do find, please stop seeking.
See, the quote says, you know, we're so addicted to seeking that the idea of actually finding never occurs to us. So when it actually happens, we usually don't even notice it, that we received exactly what we've been wanting, because we've been taught that if you were to ever be satisfied with anything, it means you're lazy, you have a lack of aggression, and you're not ambitious, and something's wrong with you. You know, you walk up on somebody and go, well, I'm satisfied with my house, I'm satisfied with my car, I'm satisfied with my mate, I'm satisfied with my pet, I'm satisfied with the way I look. I'm generally satisfied about everything. Slacker. Settling. What's wrong with you? You should be trying to get a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger. The quote says, the God of the ego world is the word more. It's like, I got to always have more. It's got to be even more pain. You tell me you got a headache, I tell you I got a headache and a backache. And then you said to another person, well, I don't have a headache, I got a headache, a backache, and I got 6 months to live. How about that? Well, I got a headache, a backache, 6 months to live, and I had a car wreck this morning. What about that? You know, so it's almost like a competition of who's going through the most crap, you know, because that's a form of specialness. You know, just like the person that goes, hey, you know what? I have inner peace. I feel really good on the inside. And so therefore, I am successful because I have achieved my goal, which is to feel inner peace. So therefore, my sense of well-being and my sense of loving myself is not based on how much money I have, what kind of position I have, who I know, none of that. You know, every time I feel bad, my inner voice will always tell me, are you judging yourself by the very values that you're saying you're trying to transcend? And I have to always honestly say yes. That's exactly what the problem is right now. Yeah, you're thinking you're not successful unless you got X income. You think you're not successful unless you got a personal mate? You thinking you're not successful unless you got... Okay, aren't you saying you're studying the spiritual truth so you can transcend judging yourself that way and knowing your intrinsic value as a child of God is where your sense of self-esteem is going to come from knowing that you're loved by your Creator and everything around you is connected with you? Haven't you been more successful at that than you used to be? Don't you find yourself more forgiving, more loving, more compassionate, more patient? Well, then in terms of what you say your goal is, you should be feeling good because you feel like you're moving toward it. So you're only feeling bad because it's not looking the way you were taught it should look before you call yourself getting more enlightened. Earl, you're not a successful course teacher because you've been teaching for 27 years and it's still 25 people or so that come to your class. So therefore, you should stop teaching because obviously you're not very good at it. Okay, or it could be everybody that comes to my class is sent by the Holy Spirit based on the fact that the way I am is best for them based on their level of understanding right now, and so therefore it has nothing to do with me whatsoever. It's about who is sent to me by God to hear whatever I'm supposed to say tonight. Now, which one of those, okay, see what I'm saying? So which one of those perceptions do you think would bring me the most peace?
Number two.
Okay, so therefore you know which perception must be the truth. It's just that simple. Because the truth is always something you can do now, and an illusion is always something you have to do at another time. Okay, so now I can see myself in such a way that I know that what's happening in my life is in divine order and it's not a reflection of who I am as a person by how many people are here. I could have that perception when? Now. So therefore, it must be of the truth because it's what I could do now. But if then I say my goal is to go on Jay Leno or Oprah, now I'm moving into the realm of illusion. Because now I'm basing my happiness on something that's not happening right now, which is where I'm happening to be located. So if I want to have happiness now, it's got to come through what's in my experience right now. So I have to give myself joy and peace about being with you right now and let myself feel gratitude for being with you right now in order for me to have joy right now. So I know that sounds like very simple, but try it and see how good you are at pulling it off. And you'll realize you and I both have been totally programmed to be out of the now moment at all times. At all times. You're never to be in the now moment. You're never to be grateful for the now moment. You've got to have something that somebody around you change in order for you to be happy. You know, it's like the illusion always says you're not enough, you're not enough, it's 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 not enough. And the truth is always telling you, you're accomplished and complete right now. You're whole and complete right now. You're whole and complete right now. There's nothing missing from you right now. You may perceive it as if something is missing, but that has nothing to do with anything being missing. Nothing is missing right now. So what is your job? My job is to let go of whatever it is that makes me think that something is missing. Do I need support? Yes. So how do you get support? Well, I join with other people who also realize that they don't see themselves the way they should see themselves, and they also want to go beyond that and realize they did not create themselves, and they open to having guidance and admitting that they may not be right so they can be happy. Okay, so that's how I do it. And how do I attract those people to me? Well, the minute I'm sincere, then they'll be there. How do I know I'm not sincere? I don't see it. Because if I was being it, it'd be there. Do I beat myself up about it not being there? No, I'm thankful that I recognize that it's not there because I haven't made my commitment yet. So all I need to do is work on setting the goal, being focused on the goal, and never forgetting the goal. Because if I do that, then that desire, that wholehearted desire, will create whatever I want. Because the Course says that there's no way that you can totally desire something and not create it. So anything that's missing, it really is about how can I figure out how to have it. It's about me getting to the point that I totally desire it. So the thing that I say I've been wanting that hasn't shown up is the thing that I really haven't made up my mind that I really want. So instead of blaming other people and circumstances as if they're keeping me from having it, what I would do if I was conscious was go back to the drawing board and ask myself, why am I afraid of having it? And then once I get clear about why I'm afraid of having it, then I can let that fear go and start having it. So it isn't that somebody's preventing me from having it. I am afraid to have it, and therefore I create the obstacles to having it because I'm scared to have it. And who wants what they're really afraid of? But since that seems so crazy in a weird sort of way, then what I've got to do is create what it appears to be obstacles to me having what I'm afraid to have anyway, so it can look like I'm being denied or something that I really want. I want a relationship, I want a relationship, I really, really, really want a relationship. And then if someone said, let's go out for a cup of coffee, scare you to death. Yeah. Okay, what is it going to be? What is it going to lead to? Is it somebody I can really trust? Where is it going? Is it going to happen the last time? Ooh, I've heard that before. Oh, you just want my body, don't you? Oh. Or maybe the problem is you don't want my body. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the truth is, I'm asking for something that I'm afraid of, and since Spirit never wants to give me what I'm afraid of, then I'm being blessed enough not to receive what I'm afraid to get anyway, and then I pretend like I'm being denied. People don't have money, they're afraid of it. People don't have relationships, they're afraid of it. People don't have the kind of success in their life, they're afraid of it. It's just fear of love. And so if you were to recognize that it's fear, then that would be the first major healing of the fear.
Wow.
Just admit that it's not anything out there that's stopping me. I have some fear within me that I need to learn how to transmute, to let go of, to see differently. See, that's easier.
That's easier.
See, I don't care what anybody says. That's easier than me walking out of here tonight and saying that I'm going to go out here and control the unknown enough to make me happy.
Yeah.
You know, if I was to go out here tonight and go, I have fear, and that my fear is a call for love, my fear is a call for help. So this feeling of fear that I'm having is actually a request to the universe to help me get past the fear. So then you use your fear to get you beyond fear, and that changes your perception of your fear, and so your fear disappears. I feel fear. What is that? That's my deep request for help. That's my deep request for love. That's me saying I think I can lose. This is me saying I really wish I had another way to look at it. I feel fear. And by reinterpreting fear, then fear becomes a prayer, and the prayer becomes, it's answered. And then you no longer feel guilty about feeling fear, because you see that you're seeing your fear correctly, which is your request for love. And then how could you feel guilty about saying, I want to be loved. I want peace in my life. I need help in my life. I want connection in my life. I want joining in my life. And it's taking the form of me feeling fear, worry, jealousy, insecurity, lack, and sickness. It's just my profound sense of the desire to be loved and to have peace and to have connection. And so those very emotions become a very request for the things I thought they were denying me.
So deep.
and your whole life would transform.
What'd you say?
Thank you for clearing up my misconception.
Yeah, I tell you, if I just never want you to forget how beautiful and holy you are. And if you do, then I want to be sane enough to remind you. And that's why I'm in the world. I used to think it was to be a very successful musician. I used to think it was to be a very successful course teacher. I used to think it was to be an executive at Bell South. I used to think, you know what I'm saying? I used to think it was all the forms my function would take, and I lost sight of what my function was. And I got caught up in the form it would take, and that was what was messing me up. All I have to do is to know that I'm here to remind you of the beauty and the innocence and the love that you are. And then whatever I imagine, like I want to be a musician, that's just the form, one of the forms that my life could take up to allow me to deliver that. So as a saxophone player, I can stand up there and play saxophone, but totally remember that I'm here to love everybody in that audience and to see everybody in that audience as the innocent children of God. And I'll never starve. I'll always be fed, and I'll always have food and clothing and everything I need, because there's no way you can fulfill your function and have misery. Mm-hmm. They don't go together. He says your function and your happiness are one. That's one of the lessons. My happiness and my function are one. So how can I tell when I'm fulfilling my function? Because it's fulfilling me. I feel good about it. I'm not getting up in the morning going, oh, damn! You know, and taking the clock and smashing it in about 900 people. I got to go there one more time. I see my phone. What am I doing? Well, then it's a possibility. Just a little possibility. You might not be in the right career. You might not be doing. But that's the trick, though. Because if your security means more than your fulfillment, then you're going to always sacrifice your happiness. Because the lowest level of consciousness to exist on is the security level. The people who live on a security level are innocent, but that's the lowest level, because they constantly compromise and never really express themselves, because they're trying to make sure that they have security. And then they're full of resentment and anger for doing what they don't really want to do, and that anger and resentment takes the form of the unhappy events that they think that they attract to them in their lives. So you owe it to yourself, and you owe it to all of us to be happy. That's the only fair thing you can do for any of us, is to let your life be fulfilling to you. Now you're really loving me, because now you're giving me a happy person and a fulfilled person to feel and to know. So I tell my friends all the time, don't sacrifice for me. You better promise me you'll never sacrifice for me, because that's where you won't breed any resentment toward me, and I'll just always experience your love. Don't do anything with me you don't want to do. Don't do anything for me you don't want to do. Don't do anything for me out of a sense of obligation. You know, that's what I feel with the love offering. That's what I feel with everything that happens in my classes. You know, I want people to share because they want to share from their heart and not out of any sense of guilt or obligation, so I can experience real love. Because I won't feel it from you as long as you feel any form of loss, like you're doing something you don't want to do. So the best thing I ever did was, as a man, was to let go of the idea of seducing. Because if I got to seduce you, you don't really want me in the first place. And so I'll pay dearly for getting somebody who don't really want me. Because I have to keep on trying to keep you there. You know, and I don't want that. I want to be recognized and loved for who I am, you know, right now. And just me being who I am, that person goes, you know what? It's so cool and satisfied being with you. What am I doing? It's just you being yourself is just awesome. Just the way you are. It just for me, it fulfills all the needs that I think I have. Just you being you. What? Yeah, something like the sun. You know, sort of like how the sun does it, you know? And I love that. And to get to the point that people are coming to your life and they're saying that to you, they're saying, thank you, Earl, for, you know, you really, really helped me. And I go, well, what did I do? And that's the clue that you're really being helpful, is you didn't try. Because, of course, there's consciousness selected miracles can be misguided. And sometimes the biggest damage that you can do to a person is when you decide to help them. Because you're judging what their need needs are, and then you're judging what you think is best for them. And so just keep in mind that it's easier. It's easier than we think it is, and that you have guidance, and that you love. So would you be willing to acknowledge yourself right now? And I'm gonna do the love offering now. Thank you for sharing with me and with Unity Temple. And I'm doing another advanced mind training on Saturday, August the 18th. It's for people who want to have some in-depth support and study of the principles of the course, and they're ready to really commit themselves and get tips about the book and how to read it and what it's saying and how to do it. So I'll be covering everything from sickness, that the course says about that, to releasing anger, guilt, grievances in the past, to how to do the course itself and to make that commitment. There's a limited enrollment. If you'd like to do it, the registration is up front. The next class is at 1 o'clock on Sunday. But I feel like they already get enough support. Truly. I mean, if you want to believe in that about yourself, you got tons of places to go. But if you want to let go of those beliefs and hear about your innocence or your lovableness, and that you do make mistakes and I make mistakes, and mistakes are for correction, and how to get in touch with your guidance, then I'm open to that. And those who need another way, I believe that's good too. I believe that everybody's where they need to be, where they should be. I just do. So all your friends that's in other beliefs, other religions, other everything that they're doing, just bless them in being there. Because if they're sincerely seeking the truth, it will come to them through whatever they're studying. You know, I met some of the most loving people I've ever met in my life who were just avid Bible studiers. And I've met some of the most judgmental people that I've ever met in my life who were avid Bible studiers. I've met some of the most loving people I've ever met in my life who are Course in Miracles students. And I've met some of the craziest egotistical maniacs that I've ever met in my life who are Course in Miracles students. So it's not really the material. It's always what is the goal of the person that's reading it. You see what I mean? That's what's really being revealed. Not anything but where that person is coming from. Okay. So I'm going to take 1 minute to bring this to completion, and then we can go back out and create some more. Yeah, can't hardly wait, can you? Take a breath. Well, I'm glad I got 3 sentences. I covered a lot of what I intended to cover tonight. So I'm so glad that I never let the subject matter get in the way of what I have to say. And this is a thought. Let's take this thought out then. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. What I perceive in others, I am strengthening in myself. I want to see love. I want to see love. I want to see peace. I want to see peace. I want to see joy. I want to see joy in others. We want to see God in others. We want to see the truth, because what I see in others, I am strengthening in myself. So I see in you power. I see power in the people in this room. I see strength in the people in this room. I see light in the people in this room, and I'm not just making it up. I see joy. I see abundance for the people in this room. I see people want to go toward love, knowing that they have some fear to let go of. I see the truth. I see Holy Spirit, and I strengthen that in you by witnessing it back to you, and you strengthen it in me by witnessing it back to me, and therefore we create the level of consciousness that will attract to us all of the abundant blessings of the universe. May the
course be with you. I'll see you next time. I love you guys. Drugs are available. And I also have...